بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألا له الخلق والأمر، تبارك الله رب العالمين. The word Allah in Arabic is to alert, to draw someone's attention. And sometimes it is to restrict. Allah lahul khalq wal amr. Allah Ta'ala says, creation is His, commanding is His. He alone creates and He alone commands. When we talk of creation, then we are speaking about making something without any material. What man does is he assembles. He's got the parts and he assembles the parts and he makes up something. So he assembles, or he constructs. All right, there wasn't a building, so he constructed a building. Or there wasn't a brick, and you manufactured a brick. But he had the material to manufacture the brick. So that is what man does. Man makes. He makes, he manufactures, he assembles, but the material he's got. He just puts the material in a certain order, and this is a building now. Or this is a room. This is a classroom, this is a masjid, some madrasa, hall, whatever else. So he just assembles those parts and he gets a certain mold after it. But when you talk of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala creates without any material. Right? Before this, the creation of the universe, and before the creation, in other words, before any creation, whether it's the arsh, whether it's the heavens, whether it's the kursi, whether it is Jannat, Jahannam, there was nothing besides Allah Ta'ala. Right? There was absolutely nothing. Then He brought these things into existence. So creation is the one that creates without existence. So that's creation. So is there anybody else that can claim that he can create? Can't create. If you ask him to make something, then he needs something, some spare parts, some material, some tools, etc. Then he'll assemble it and he'll make it. But to create, that is exclusive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody else does it. So Allah lahul khalq. So when he's speaking about this, that this creation is his, that it belongs to him. To create, that belongs to him. Nobody, he's got no partner in creation. Then, ala lahul khalq wal amr. One is the aspect of creation, then creation belongs to him entirely. To create belongs to him. Then commanding also is his. He commands only. Nobody else can command. The regulating of the rotation of the sun, who commands it? Allah Pak. Can anybody in the world, any scientist, anybody, change that rotation from 24 hours to 25 hours or 23 hours? Can anybody, any part of the universe, can he regulate this? It's his command. Commanded the sun, I've made you do this. So the sun has got no ability to move to the right, to the left, or backwards or forwards. Can you see the slavery that's within the sun? Ala lahul khalq wal amr. Shah Ishaq Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, he became the head of the madrasa of Hazrat Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. After his grandfather had passed away, Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, then he became the head of the madrasa. And there was a Hindu that was his grandfather's friend. When he took charge of the madrasa, so he thought to himself, because of my grandfather's friendship with this Hindu, I cannot ask him just to leave the madrasa. He would come into the madrasa and he would do some of his pujas. And the puja that these Hindus normally do is they draw out some type of water from the well and then they offer it to the sun. So some type of puja, whatever they do. So Hazrat Shah Sahib used to watch all this and he would not object. Now after Shah Sahib has passed away, his grandson has taken charge of the madrasa, Shah Muhammad Ishaq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Now, on the one end, it's a puja that's being done. But then, consideration to my grandfather, he did this, he was more learned, he was more equipped, he understood things better, but he did not object to this whole thing. What's the mystery? I don't know. Allah Pak knows best. So he let it continue, but it was something that was uneasy for him to manage. Because it's within the compound of the madrasa, and this person is doing this type of a thing. But now, how do I manage this? What do I do with this? Anyway, one day this Hindu is quite old and aged. He comes to Shah Ishaq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali and tells him that, you see, I've been praying to the sun all the time, making these offerings and whatever else. I was doing all this for the sun all this time. Like how they have different gods and goddesses, sun god and moon god and sea god and snake god and monkey god, whatever. So how they have it. So I was doing this all this while. But today, whilst I was doing this puja of mine today, a thought struck my mind. The thought that went through my mind is, the sun is in greater bonds and greater chains than myself. Myself, I have the choice of movement. I can move as I want. I want to rest, I will rest. I want to get up, I will get up. I want to eat, I will eat. I want to work, I will work. I want to leave work, I want to go for a holiday, I can do that. So I have got quite a bit of choice. I have got options. I can do what I want. I want to rest, I can rest. Don't go to work for the 3 days, I won't go. Or shop, close the shop for a month and go for whatever. But I can do all these things. And this thing here, it has to slave. It can't move to the right, it can't move to the left, it can't move forward, it can't advance its movement, it can't delay its movement. So that means it's in greater bondage and greater slavery than myself. It doesn't have a movement of its own, can't move at all. Of its own, it can't move. Right? So it's showing greater slavery than myself. When it's showing and expressing greater slavery than myself, then how can I be a slave to it? A master must be one who can control, who can regulate, and who has complete control. He's not subservient to anything. And look at the subserviency in this thing. Look at the submission in this thing. So when it is in total submission, total subservient, then how can I worship this thing? So he says, whilst I was doing this puja, then this thought just ran through my mind. And then I came to the conclusion, no, this thing is not worthy of worship, really. Really, I'm superior to the sun in many respects. I've got the choice of my own. I can do what I want to. I can opt for not working. I can opt for working. I can do a multiple work. And this thing, it has to keep in one line. Can't go for a picnic. Can't go for a rest. Can't go for a holiday. Can't say, no, I worked for so many millions of years. You people, all of you all take holidays. What about myself? I need to go for a holiday. What do you think? You know, I will get, I will get tension. You know, I'll get a heart attack. So I need to take a break. So that thing never says that I need to take a break. So that thing is in greater subserviency, greater submission than myself. So when it's in greater subserviency and submission than myself, then how can I be subservient to it? How can I be a slave to it? So I realized, no, there's something wrong here. In my whole working, there's something definitely wrong. So the truth of Islam has now dawned upon me. But I've got a problem. If I expose my Islam to my folks, to my family people, then they're going to ostracize me. I've got the world for India, If it was in Africa, you would have said he got the wealth for Africa. But I got the wealth of India, I've got. Because I'm a Banya, I got so much of wealth. Money lenders, I got so much of wealth. I'm not afraid of any wealth. But what I'm afraid about is that if I'm going to expose and express my Islam, then they're going to definitely ostracize me. But then I want to become a Muslim, then I don't want to play a double standard. Hide something and express something. No, I want to be a Muslim, and openly I want to become a Muslim. If I do so, then I need to rest somewhere. I need some type of an accommodation. I've got all the money, I can bring it to you. You take care of me. I'm aged now, 75, 80. Now my days are numbered. So I need someone to give me a care. But I can give you all the type of wealth. The Shah Muhammad Ishaq Sabrahmi says that just to test him out, you see, just to test him out, just to try him out. But you know, if you know, accept Islam, we'll have to do your khatna, just to see now how committed this person is. So, no, I am prepared for that. I thought about all these things here. Everything what you can ask me for, I am prepared for it. I committed myself. I have given my heart for that. It's all right. Now, he made out that this person is really committed. He is not just playing. He's not testing me out. He's not experimenting. He is really committed. Anyway, Shah Muhammad Ishaq Sabrahmi told him, see, you were my grandfather's friend. I've been observing what you were doing. I wasn't very happy, I wasn't comfortable with what you were doing. But then, considering that you were my grandfather's friend, and my grandfather was a great, great wali. Right? The whole India sings about him, whole Pakistan talks about him. In fact, the whole world talks about him. About him being the sanad of hadith. Anybody talks of Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullahi, then his hadith is being linked up to Hazrat Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullahi. That's the father of Hazrat Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullahi. Or that's the son of Hazrat Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullahi. So when he was such a great person and he just turned a blind eye towards you, so I thought to myself, there is some mystery behind this. And I felt that this is going to show color one day, maybe not now, maybe in a few years, few scores of years, something may come out of this. So now I see the reality, now I see the mystery really surfacing. But being the friend of my grandfather, then really it's a duty that I owe to my grandfather, that his friend is my friend. His accomplice is my accomplice. So it's my duty, it's not only, it's not just a friendship, but it's a duty. Islam advocates this, it encourages this, that you take care of your father's friends. So you are my grandfather's friend. And being my grandfather's friend, I need to respect this. So I will show you the respect, I will show you the love, I will show you the care that I would show to my own father. So you can keep all the money, leave it to them, leave it to your children and your heirs and your inheritors, let them all enjoy that wealth. I will take all the care that I need to take care. Anyway, he read the kalima, became a devout Muslim, etc. And that hadith which says, you know, a person practices all his life. He practices as a Hindu, as a Christian. And then taqdeer overtakes him. When taqdeer overtakes him, he becomes a Muslim. And then he enters into Jannat. So I saw that hadith really, really playing out before my own eyes. That all his years, all his age, 8 years of age, he lived as a devout Hindu. He did all his puja and all that. Right? But just before death can overtake him, there he becomes a Muslim. He became Muslim, devout Muslim, everything correct, everything in order. And on the 40th day, he passed away. So, kisku hakir samjha ja sakta hai? How can you despise anybody? You despise the action, not the person. The sorcerers that had come in opposition to Musa alayhi salam, imagine the crime, imagine the gravity of the crime. The beginning of the day, the coming out to challenge the Nabi of the time. Can you see the gravity of the crime? Can there be a crime worse? That we have come out to do what? To challenge the Nabi of the time. To fight against the Nabi of the time. Can there be a sin worse than this? But before the end of day, before the business can close for the day, there can't be awliya greater than them. Look at the words. When Fir'aun is threatening them, that لَوْ صَلِّبَنَّكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ قَطِّئَنَّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ I will amputate your hands and your feet from the opposite ends. I will put you to the cross and I will kill you people. قَالُوا الْعَذِيرِ إِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا مُنْقَلِبُونَ No problem. In any event, we are returning that way. We are going that way. This way or that way, but we are going that way. Whether you do it or not, we are going that way. We are scheduled to go that way. You are just expediting the journey only, that's all. Now look at the strength of the yaqeen, the strength of the iman. That he is threatening them with life. He's got the power and might. He's got everything, he's got the influence. But they are not being moved by his threats, his warnings, his threats, and his influence and power, authority. Nothing is shaking them. رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَتَوَفَّنَا مُسْلِمِينَ And look at the dua that they are making. You know, not only the iman, but look at the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It goes to such a level. They're coming from zero, they're becoming the awliya of the time. You know, I look at this and I just keep on marveling at these people here. The awliya of the time, what they are saying, the words that they are saying, رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَتَوَفَّنَا مُسْلِمِينَ Allah ta'ala, pour patience and firmness, stability upon us. Let us be stable. Let us be strong. Now this is a reflection of their confidence in Allah Ta'ala, not within themselves. They are not confident of themselves. They can change, you know. Today I can say, no, I don't fight for anybody. I got trust in Allah Ta'ala, I got tawakkul in Allah Ta'ala. But let a person come and confront you with a gun, see how you're going to behave, how you're going to conduct yourself. Gun is a little bit still all right. Let a wild dog chase you. What happens? All that is forgotten then. Everything is forgotten. So these people, see what they are teaching us. رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا Allah Ta'ala, let us be stable. Let us be firm. Let us be constant. Let us not move away from this. رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا Right. So they are not proud about themselves. And they don't feel confident within themselves. They feel, they put their trust, they invest all their trust in Allah. You Allah, you make it happen. We will not do it. Impossible. We can't do it. Of our own, we can't do it. Allah, we ask you to do it. So we invest all our trust into you. أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا And oh Allah Ta'ala, the very root of all our desires, the very essence of all our desires, you know, the very climax of all our aspirations is what? تَوَفَّنَا مُسْلِمِينَ Let us die in the state of submission. Let us die as Muslims. Can you imagine now what levels these people are speaking about? They are speaking about iman. They are speaking about yaqeen. They are speaking about trust. They speak about recognition. They are speaking about dying in faith. Now a point to wonder is this, that they came in this style and Allah Ta'ala take them and promoted them. He allowed them to progress to the limits. So what was the factor, what was the good in them that brought them to that point? People talk about a lot of things. Some people say, no, it was their clothing. They adopted the clothing of Musa al-Islam. Alright, that was a great thing. In respect of Musa al-Islam, they wore the same garb, they wore the same apparel. But the Quran Sharif says, when these people came out to challenge Musa al-Islam, so they asked Musa al-Islam, إِمَّا أَن تُلْقِيَ وَإِمَّا أَن نَكُونَ نَحْنُ الْمُلْقِينَ Would you wish to have the first throw? Or should we have the first throw? It's a challenge, it's a magic challenge, it's a competition that's going on. And it is to see now whose magic and whose sorcery will prevail today. Who's going to win today? So in this whole competition, they are asking Musa al-Islam, do you want to have the first throw or should we have the first throw? Now this was in respect to Musa al-Islam, that he is a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we accord him this type of respect. Let us offer it to him. Let us make it to him. Now Allah ta'ala rewards this humility, this consideration to his Nabi, Allah ta'ala rewards it. And he promotes them to that highest level of the awliya of the time. But within all this incident, what we understand is, do you despise anybody? Can you belittle anybody? Yes, you belittle his action, that kufr, that disbelief, that fisk or that transgression that is in him. We belittle that. We would despise that. Hamari yahan musibat hai, the calamity that's within us, we can see the faults of others, but we become blind to our faults. And the pious of the past, they would be blinded to the faults of others, and they would be able to see their faults. Hey, I got to get this right. I have to correct this. I have to get this right. I have to get this in order. Shah Zafar Sahib, he says it in a poetry. He says, until jab tak logo ke aib ko aib hunar ko dekhte rahe, as long as we kept on looking around, we kept on looking at the weakness of others. This person has got this problem, he's got this problem here, he's got this weakness. Jab garibaan mein dekha, to dunya mein koi bura na raha. When we looked within our collars, we didn't find any bad person. We found, hey, we're the worst rotters. There's nobody as worse as us. We went to look at our own selves. We went to sift ourselves. When we sifted ourselves, we saw no problems. With others, we saw problems all lying with us. So now, our mirror is turned in some other direction, where we see the reflection of others. We can't see our own selves. We can see everybody else, but our own selves we can't see. What we're getting at, we spoke about Ala lahul khalq wal amr, tabarakallahu rabbul alameen. The right to command, not the right, but command itself. The entity, this entity of commanding, that is Allah Ta'ala's. The entity of creating is Allah Ta'ala's. And I went on to show you that the sun, who's commanded it to work with this type of an operation, this type of a rotation? Not 2 seconds that way, not 2 seconds this way. Not to the right, not to the left. Who commanded it? Who's commanding the seasons? Can anybody influence the season? You can't influence the season. Right? Who's influencing the day and the night? Again, you will see Allah Ta'ala. The waxing and the waning of the moon, who's commanding it? The millions of years you're operating, you move on the same style. The moon can't say, Allah Ta'ala, hey, I'm tired of this thing now. You know, so many years, same system, over and over, stereotype. Allah Ta'ala, give me some change now, man. Give me a break now. Same old operation. 29 days in the month, same operation. First moon, second moon, third moon, 14 moon, then down, then disappear, then come again. Same operation all the time. Allah Ta'ala, give me some change now. Who is commanding that moon to operate like how it's operating? وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبُسِّرُونَ Don't you look within your own selves? Who's influencing your birth, your age, your complexion, your features, your temperament? Who's commanding all that? Who's regulating it? Allah is regulating it. The ability to choose and make preferences, who's given that ability? Who's commanded that this person must be created like this? He mustn't be created as a monkey or as a donkey. He must be created as a man. And he must be living like this. Who's commanded all that? Do you see? Commanding is his. Creation is his. His command and his creation. It's his command, it's his creation. You know, we say people nowadays, it's your call. You know, but really the call is Allah Ta'ala's. He makes the call, you have to leave straight. Can you delay a second? Can you advance a second? It's your call. It's whose call? It's his call. It's his call. So when you say that and you acknowledge that, you confess and you agree, Allah lahul khalq wal amr. Allah lahul khalq wal amr. So this is an opening statement. Allah lahul khalq wal amr. And he's starting off, Allah Ta'ala is starting off with the word Allah. You know, it's your... It's like a word of alert. You know, in the airports you have your attention, please, to catch the attraction, to catch the attention of people. Allah. Right. And then the way Allah Ta'ala phrases the verse, Lahul khalqu wal amr, taqdeemu ma haqqu wa ta'khir, yufidu al hasr. What was supposed to be said at the end, you bring it at the beginning. You want to impress upon the listener that see, this is just confined to Allah Ta'ala. Like I say, I tell you, I'm speaking to you, right? But I just change the order of the sentence. I say, you, I'm speaking to you. Now, does it make a difference or not? It makes a difference. I want to show you, I'm not referring to anybody else, I'm referring to you. So Allah Pak is saying, Lahul khalq wal amr. To him belongs creation and command. See, he's got that command, he's got that creation under control, absolute control. Like the sun can't move right or left, can't move forward or backwards. You're also under his divine command. Just that in that command, he's given you certain choice. Certain choices he's given you. Not too much choice. You can't live as you want. You can't choose to Allah Ta'ala, you know what, Allah Baki, you want to create me, so create me as a 6 feet tall. I want this type of features, grey hair or black hair, white hair, and this type of nose, this type of ears. You can't make those selections. He's going to decide. The DNA, he's going to decide. Who's going to decide? He's going to decide. You can't decide these things as much as you would want to, but it is he that chooses and decides. His domain, his command. It's his call. Ala lahul khalq wal amr. So when everything belongs to him, then what's the logical consequence? Ud'u rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufya. Then you need to call on him. When it is his call, right, that will prevail. Then what do you need to do? Then you need to call on him. When it is his call that will prevail, his call that will overwhelm every situation. When that person is on the respirator, right? Now the doctor will say, now you ask Allah Ta'ala. The doctor also says that, isn't it? You ask Allah Ta'ala. Because he also knows that he can work to a certain point. The doctor knows also himself, within his mind he knows that he doesn't influence life. All he can do is he can show you, all right, this is a better quality of life. If you opt for this way, you can get the quality better. But to give life, that's not his work. He knows it himself. He can't give life. He says, no, it's beyond us now. The best of surgeons and the best of specialists, they will tell you, it's beyond us. It's not within our control. Won't they say, when he's on the respirator, he says, no, we can't do anything. We can't do beyond this. They will tell you that we are helpless in this situation. We can't do anything beyond this. All our knowledge, all our science, all our training and education brings us to this limit. But who decides life? Lahul khalq wal amr. It's his. I remember when I came from India about 31 years ago. One friend of mine's, it was his first grandchild. And he just telephoned me, Molana, very, very wealthy person, very, very wealthy. So Molana, I just got a grandson and he's critical. I've engaged about 21 doctors, all specialists. Someone for the heart, someone for the lung, someone for this, someone for that. I've engaged them all. Make dua, something happens. And the child died. So he engaged dua, he engaged people, he engaged the best, you know, of the crop he engaged. But Allah Pak shows that it is his decision, it's his call. You can't go beyond that. So when it is his call, then what's the logical thing? Then call on him. Ud'u rabbakum, call on him. But when you call on him, then call on him with this mindset, ala lahul khalq wal amr. He decides, he creates, he makes things happen. When he makes things happen, then the logical thing is to ask him, why are you going to this person and that person? Ask of him, he'll make it happen. See, people don't talk right. So now he makes things happen, but we have to make our effort also. But don't talk like that, why? Don't talk like that, please. He makes it happen. Yes, he wants us to take a little bit of procedure. We will adopt that little bit of procedure. As though we are saying, now we have to make it happen. What is Allah Pak doing? People make some very stupid statements. Really, really stupid statements. One person is giving a bayan somewhere. English teacher. So he says, no, but you know, till when Allah Ta'ala will do work for you now? He's got his portfolio now. Now you also do something. You know, you must also do something. What do you mean? When you say you must also do something, what do you mean? You mean you're a partner with Allah Ta'ala. In the whole process, are you a partner with Allah Ta'ala? You must also do something. What do you mean? You're a partner with Allah Ta'ala. No. You've got it totally wrong. He does it. By every person has got a begging bowl when he gets up in the morning. He gets up and he wants that bowl to be filled up. So whatever you are, whatever type of business you are, then Allah Pak is filling that bowl. He is putting into that mind of that customer, go to this person here, and you fill up his bowl. There are hundreds of people that are doing the same business, but who is directing that clientele to your shop? Do you ask yourself? So who's commanding? It's Allah Ta'ala that is commanding. Allah lahul khalq wal amr. When we see these things, you know, my expertise, my effort, my sweat, my struggle. Please, don't forget Allah Ta'ala. Don't forget Allah Ta'ala. Don't say these type of statements. You make these statements and soon you will see that Allah Ta'ala will make you totally helpless. And I want to see thereafter how your business will work for you. Sometimes it makes you helpless that the business goes down completely. And sometimes the business is flourishing but you get helpless. You become a human cabbage. You become totally useless. So don't make these statements. That will reduce you into a total human cabbage. So you enjoy it, but Allah Ta'ala, you did it, you made it happen. هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي. These big, big kings, Anbiya alayhimu salam, Allah Ta'ala had given them that power, that ability, that control of the world. Two people had ruled the world, one was Sulaiman alayhi salam, and one was Sikandar Zulkarnain. When Allah Ta'ala blessed him, not one small shop now, 2x2 shop here, yeah? According to that kingdom, whatever you've got, all of us got, is not even 2x2. Isn't it? It's not even 2x2. Compared to the mulk and compared to the kingdom of Sulaiman alayhi salam, it's not even 2x2. But the first statement that comes out of his tongue, he didn't say, Allah, my piety, and you know, my crying at night, and you know, I was struggling, and you know, how I was asking you, and you know, how I made it, how I tried, and what difficulties I went. So this is the culmination of all my efforts. He didn't say that. He said, squarely, purely, entirely, min fadli rabbi, it's the grace of my Rabb. Now that's the prescription for security. Prescription to secure your business, min fadli rabbi. Ma sha Allah, la quwwata illa billah. Prescription for security, you entering into your business, then not just a repetition of words. You got married and you went for some lessons how to get into a marriage, you know. Right? So you can't just go for listen now, oh, I love you, I love you. Girl may ask, what do you mean I love you? I want a tin of sardines. What do you mean by that? So you can't just repeat those words. You can't just repeat those words. Those words must be real. When you're saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you're speaking to him, it must be real. Min fadli rabbi. Ma sha Allah. Allah ta'ala, it's by your grace. It is with your will that has happened. Allah ta'ala, this could have never been achieved without your will. So let it be a reality. You are speaking to Allah Ta'ala. You are communicating with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. You are being realistic with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. This is what Allah wants. Not a superficial relationship. Nobody enjoys a superficial relationship. Do you enjoy a superficial relationship? Don't you see in a TV or on a video, right? They're making love. You know all that. It's all superficial. So you put your hand here, put your hand like this, whatever else. Is it real that? Not real love that. It is just superficial. It is just an act that they are playing out. It's not real. You know, somebody is crying, they're putting some water there, you know that. Blood, you know, they're putting some red ink. So we know all that. It's all superficial. You don't appreciate it. So don't let your relationship with Allah Ta'ala be a superficial one. Let it be real. Allah Ta'ala, you are real. You are haqq. Anta al-haqq wa wa'aduka haqq wa liqa'uka haqq wa qawluka haqq. When you're getting up for tahajjud, you're saying that Allah Ta'ala, you are reality. Your word is a reality. Jannat is a reality. Jahannam is a reality. Your Nabi is a reality. You're saying this word, Allah, it's real. Ala lahul khalq wal amr. So when he is real, he commands, he creates, then ud'u rabbakum, you call on him. When he said, call on me, you know, you get these toll free numbers, right? Huh? And when they say, call on us. Any assistance, any problems, you call on us. So what's that? It's a promise. It's a promise to respond. Otherwise, you'll complain. But you, people told me I must call on you, but there's no service line you've got. You don't have a line. So why do you ask us? Why do you take this trouble unnecessarily? That's the complaint that you'll give. So when Allah Pak is telling you that you call on me, it's a promise. It's a promise that I will see you right. But you call on me. And then he teaches us what should be the procedure. How do you call on Allah Ta'ala? You want things to happen, but how do you call on Allah Ta'ala? So he's given four etiquettes. Tadarru'an. One is with humility. You don't call on Allah Ta'ala how you talk to your garden boy. Tadarru'an. Allah Ta'ala, I don't deserve it. But Allah Pak, you really deserve to be compassionate. You deserve that. It's your right. It's your quality that you want to be. You are. Not you want to be, but you are compassionate. You are loving. You are merciful. You are kareem. Alladhi yu'ti bighayri ahliya. He gives, even though you're not eligible, he still gives you. When you give sadqa, we'll telephone 10 people and say, I give this person or not. I will say, don't do it. We'll have to, right? We have the niyat that we don't spoil anybody. But Allah Pak gives us, he doesn't even look at whether we are eligible or not. Right? Does he look at that? No, he doesn't look at that. Imagine if Allah Pak had to look at eligibility and then give us. But I don't think, myself, I talk for myself, I'm not worthy of this clothing, even the health, I'm not worthy for anything. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. One thing. If he had to base it on eligibility, I'm not worthy of anything. Not even a drop of water, not even one oxygen. Not eligible for anything. So, ud'u rabbakum tadarru'an, with humility. Allah Ta'ala, really, I'm not worthy. I don't say I'm worthy. I don't say I'm eligible. But Allah Ta'ala, you deserve everything. You deserve to be like that. You deserve to be kind. You are kind. You are compassionate. You love to be kind and compassionate. You are loving. You are merciful. So that's what's the meaning of tadarru'an, humility. You humble yourself to that level. Tadarru'an, that's the first. The second thing is wa khufya, and softly, secretly. Softly, secretly. Really, dua is not just a repetition of words. No, you've got it wrong. It's not a repetition of words. It's not shouting and screaming. No, tadarru'an wa khufya, softly. Allah, but please. You know now that this person will influence the case. He's the judge, right? And you've got some type of a rapport with him. Please, man, sir, make a plan for us. Man. How you'll talk to him? Hey, you need to fix it up for us, huh? You'll talk to him like that? No, it's an important decision. You go to him, please, man, make a plan now. You can do things, man. You know, things can happen with you. How humble you will act with the person. You will act with the person total humility. You can make it happen. Because you know the influence, you know the might, you know the strength that's with him. So you talk to him with total humility and secretly, quietly, softly. Now you're talking, shouting and just repeating some words. Rabbana atina fi dunya. Now that's the consideration of Allah Ta'ala, that person who's reading it loudly and the person that is saying Ameen also, Allah Pak is considering them. But really it's not in the ethos of a dua. It's not in the spirit, doesn't conform with the spirit of a dua. Apart from it not conforming with the ethos and the spirit of dua. Imagine now a person has got one or two rakats that are missing. He's a masbuk, he missed one or two rakats, right? He's reading his dua, he's reading his namaz, the rakats that he missed. One rakat or two rakats that he's missed, he's trying to perform them. And you sending your dua, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. Is it a disturbance to him or not? Think to yourself, does it disturb him or not? Does it confuse him or not? I ask, with all due respects and humility, I ask, then, is ibadat mein kya baza hai, jis mein dusre ko takleef pahunchai ja rahi ho? What's the joy in that ibadat, when you're causing some takleef to someone? Is there any joy in that? Yeah? I am hurting you, right? I'm hurting your son, for example, right? I'm hurting him, inconveniencing him, and I'm asking you for favors. Is that right? It's your heart. It's your heart. The child is your heart. It's your life, right? It's your soul. And I'm hurting him, and I'm asking you for favors. Is that right? Does it add up? It doesn't add up. So the same, you hurting someone, and then you're asking Allah Ta'ala's. It's, like I say, it's a consideration of Allah Ta'ala that we're saying it in Arabic. It's just a rasam. It's just a ritual and a routine we are going through. The Imam Sahib, I think many a time he doesn't understand what he's saying. And The people behind him, they don't know what they are saying, but everything, Ameen, Birahmatiki Aramarahim, Rahimeen, everything is gone. By ask Allah Ta'ala. Ask, don't repeat words. Ask him. That's the spirit of dua. You ask him, beg him. Be real. Allah Pak is real. Allah Pak is true. Ask of him, speak to him. Don't just let it be a routine in your whole process. Ud'u rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufya. Do you see that? So that's the first two adabs. One is humility and one is softly. Allah Pak, please make it happen. Allah Pak, you will do it. Allah Pak, it can happen. Nobody can stop you. Nobody can influence your decision. Who can stop you, Allah Pak? So you're talking to him. And you look at the enjoyment that you will get when you speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But obviously with humility. And then, وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا وَدْعُوهُ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. So after everything, Allah Ta'ala has set all the systems right in this world. He set everything, all the systems, the rain will fall, the sun will come out. So He set and He's put all the systems in place. When He's put all the systems in place, then you don't want to spoil it. وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. I'm giving you an easy explanation. Don't go and spoil the thing. When He's put all the systems in place, so you don't want to spoil it. If you want to spoil the system, what's going to happen? Then the system is not going to work for you. Right? The system is that water will quench your thirst, right? Food will give you satisfaction. That's the system of Allah Ta'ala, right? But now if you have a situation where you've got the means, it's not giving you that type of fulfillment. You've got the wife, it's not giving you satisfaction and happiness. You've got that wealth, it's not giving you that contentment and satisfaction. You don't feel that deep down satisfaction. You've got the dwelling, but it doesn't give you the type of security. You don't feel secure within you. You still feel that anxiety attack you get. So that means there's something missing. That was supposed to give you that type of satisfaction. It's not giving you that type of satisfaction. That means somewhere down the line, that system is not working for you. The system is not working for you. Why? Because you spoil the system. لا تفسدوا في الأرض بعد إصلاحها. I'll give you a very simple explanation. You've got the bed, it's not giving you that type of aram, it's not giving you that type of comfort. It's not working for you. Why? You've spoiled the system. Something wrong. In the whole works, there's something wrong. Because there's something wrong, therefore that bed is not giving you that type of satisfaction. You've got the best type. It's not giving you that type of satisfaction. You've got all the medication, best food you've got, but it's not giving you the contentment of the heart, no satisfaction, no ease, no calmness of the mind. Why? So don't spoil the system. Don't spoil that system. Otherwise, it's not going to work for you. You want it to work for you, then you follow the system. Then you see how the system of Allah Ta'ala will work. Now you've got simple, plain food, but you feel so happy. Allah Ta'ala, you gave me. You gave me roti, mashallah. Allah Ta'ala, I'm so happy. Allah Ta'ala, I don't deserve this. Allah Ta'ala, you happy. You gave me this. Really, you'll be eating and you'll be, you know, it's not a good word to use, but just to show happiness, you know. You'll be eating and you'll be bouncing around. Allah Pak, I don't deserve this. Allah Pak, you gave me this. It's not the right word to use. But in happiness, you'll be bouncing. وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا. So the second two adab, وَدْعُوهُ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. And when you ask, when you call on Allah Ta'ala, then let it be with fear. When you say fear, what do you mean? You mean that, oh Allah Ta'ala, on account of my sins, on account of my limitations, really, I don't deserve anything. And really, you're not under any obligation. Allah Ta'ala, you're not under any obligation. Nobody can come and influence your decision. You are independent in your decision. Nobody influences your decision. وَدْعُوهُ خَوْفًا خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. So when you ask on him with fear, Allah Pak, you will do it independently. Allah Pak, I don't deserve this thing, Allah Pak, but you love to forgive. You love compassion. You love to be merciful, Allah Ta'ala. So I'm asking not because you want any obligation, but because you love your creation. Allah Pak, I'm also part of your creation. Although I'm that creation of yours, that really is not worth your name, not worth my name also. But Allah Pak, you love everything. Whatever I am, Allah Pak, but you love to give. So you ask with that frame of fear that you don't deserve it, but then too you're asking Allah Ta'ala. وَطَمَعَ. But you don't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only with fear, but with longing and hope as well, with yearning as well, that it is His mercy, it is His compassion, it is His loving care, that He will make things happen. Allah Pak, you'll make it happen. See, now these are the four adabs of dua. Wad'u khawfum wa tama'a. Then to culminate this whole thing, to end up this whole thing, Allah Pak says, now you want your duas to be accepted. The month of Ramadan is coming. Everybody's got his hajat, right? You got some hajat about your deceased parents also. Parents, mothers, sisters, or whoever else, right? Of your business, of the future, of the people that you have lost. You have got some need in your mind. And you want all your things to be accepted. So Allah Pak is giving you the standard. You go by the standard here and you'll win. He's giving you the standard. All the answers he's giving you. Inna rahmatallahi qareebun min al-muhsin. That's the standard. You want my mercy, don't you want my mercy? You want my love, you want my affection, you want things to work out for you, don't you want it? So I give you a simple prescription, simple procedure. A simple procedure where you're going to get my mercy actually rushing towards you. Not coming towards you, but rushing towards you. What's the procedure? Then the procedure is muhsinin. Muhsinin means be good. Be good from your tongue, from your eyes, from your ears, from your heart. In every respect, be good. You wish good, you be good, you intend good, you do good, you see good, you talk good, you listen to good. There is no evil anywhere. Not in the ears, not in the eyes, not in the tongue, not in the heart. You are good. Whoever it is, but you are wishing good for the person. Whoever it is, but you are talking good to him. Even though it's an enemy, but you are speaking soft words. Adana lahu al-qawl. Rasulullah's sifat, he used to speak soft words, kind words. Even though it's an enemy, but he's speaking softly, kindly, sweetly. Now that's the whole culmination of all his entire verse. You want the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, then be good. Think good, reason good, do good, intend good. How much you can do, to the extent, to the point that you can be good, do good. Is that difficult? Just be to be good. Don't at any time don't allow a conflict between your tongue and your heart. If your heart is good, let your tongue be good. If your tongue is good, let your heart be good. Let there be conformity in that. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib kare.